You're listening to For the Republic, a love letter to Star Wars animation.
Hello there.
All right, everyone, welcome back to another edition of our Andor Recaps here on For the Republic, a love letter to Star Wars animation. I am one of your co-hosts, Andrew. Connor is here with me as well. Don might be joining at some point, but we have special guests this week from the Wayseekers, from SWE. Austin is back, and Chelsea, for the first time, welcome to For the Republic. We are so glad to have you here today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, I'm excited. Yes,
thank you for having me. So excited to talk Andor. And it's my goal to talk about it wherever I can. So thank you for contributing.
Yeah. I know you guys just did an episode about this newest episode on Wayseekers. So
yeah,
probably still have a lot to talk about because these episodes are just so jam-packed with so much like tension and like great dialogue and development that I'm just eating it up. And I'm so excited to talk about it because this arc, I'm just loving it. Before we get into that, though, real quickly, since this is the first time we've had you on, Chelsea, I just like to ask people just a real quick story of, like, what was your first memory with Star Wars or how you got into it, if you just want to share that real quick, and then we can get into the discussion.
Yeah, so I think actually my first sort of introduction to Star Wars were either, one, just stealing my older sister's Padme Barbie doll out of her room because I thought it looked cool. And two, the first thing I actually watched was the Ewok animated series from the 80s. Oh. We would get it from Blockbuster. So it had just been one of those things that was kind of always around me and I like had always like consumed, but it wasn't until that it was announced The Force Awakens was coming out that I like rewatched everything and like completely fell in love with it again.
You're the first one I've heard that the Ewok animated series was the your introduction. So that's the beauty of these questions. And that's what I'm trying to do with my other show that Austin was a guest on, is just really dive into that. And I just love asking everyone that. Before we get started, though, this is a treat for our YouTube audience, not so much for our audio listeners. But Austin made it perfectly clear to me before this show started that he has bought For the Republic. So
yes.
SWE,
it was a lot of money.
Republic, a love letter to Star Wars animation.
It was a lot of money to get my logo up there, but I did it. I'm producing this now, so it's a great thing. Actually, no, just, I'm not. But
all right, well, we'll save that for a rainy day, I guess. So let's just dive right into it. So we continued on in this episode with the Aldani mission, the growing heist. And we're just leading more into it. This episode focused a lot on the growing tension between Cassian and the other members of the Rebels. Reached a boiling point. Cassian has been lying throughout this entire series. And as we get further and further into the episode, once the truth starts to unravel a bit more, he finally opens up and at least explains himself to some of them to try to gain their trust a bit. And it seems to work a little bit, but we definitely still have some tension here. And, well, what are your thoughts on this whole group so far? Like, these characters, are you enjoying them? Are they not really working for you? Do you have a favorite out of them? What do you think?
I think that the whole group is the best addition to Star Wars in recent years. Shout out Nemec.
Nemec is my guy. Is
my true hero. Yes. The true hero of the Star Wars galaxy. Also Skeen and Cinta and Vel. All of them just are amazing. Lieutenant Gorn, oh my god, I love the whole group. And I really
we love an Imperial defector. We always love one of them.
Yes, shout out to every Imperial defector. And I really like their dynamic because it's so complicated, and also just the way that they have to figure out their own personal, you know, drama, for lack of a better term, before they can take over this empire is really cool. Instead of just like, you know, let's put everything aside just to fight the common enemy and then everything goes bad. There's like a little bit of respect for each other there. And even though that it kept going back and forth with, like, is Cassian on our side or is Clem on our side? Is he not? I think it was still by the end, Cassian revealing that he's getting paid for this job, laying everything out. Everybody's being 100% honest with each other at this point, as far as we know, that I think they're at a point now where this mission can actually be successful, even if people die, which I'm 100% certain somebody's going to die.
Tony Gilroy is like, there's a high death count in the show. I'm like, you're not making it out. I like tried figuring out last night. It's like, who do I think has the most odds? And then I'm like, every single one of them, I'm like, you're probably dying. So I'm like, maybe this just isn't a good thing to do.
This is Rogue One before Rogue One. Everyone just dies.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are a couple characters that I'm like, I am like 100% certain you're not making it out of here alive. But then there are a couple other ones where I just don't know. Lay your hands off of Nemec, though, please. That is
for sure.
I love him.
I love him too.
But he's a goner. Like, of course, the youngest kid who's in it with the purest morals and values and is in it because he wants to make a difference, he has to die. He has to become a martyr. Well, I don't want that to happen. It's just like, who knows? I would love to be surprised. I would love to, a week from like today, be eating my fucking words. Oh my God, wait, can we curse on here? I'm so sorry. Oh my God, okay, cool.
And no worries.
I should have asked that before. Anyway.
I'll just loudly do a censor beep, even though we don't curse or we don't censor anything, just for that special occasion.
Oh, amazing, amazing. but yeah, I would love to be pleasantly surprised a week from today and somehow he makes it out, but I just don't see it happening. And it's going to be tragic, but beautiful. And I'm just not prepared to see any of them go. I think all of their stories have been done and told like so well in such a little span of time. Like every second like matters, and it's, you learn so much about you know, this large kind of ensemble very quickly, and I just love this show's ability to do that.
Yeah, there are like, for all of them, I'm like, there are ways that I think they could die. It's like Nemec, for what we just said. Terriman, I just think he's cursed because he's given control at the end of the episode. He's got the least amount of development, so I feel like that's just them saying, you're dying, buddy. And I hate that for him. And then Skeen, I think he might, my theory is he's going to sacrifice himself for Cassian to complete the mission because they've had the most tension between the two of them. And then Vel and Cinta, they had to show that they're girlies in this episode, so that means one of them's dying probably, because Star Wars is
shout
pain.
Out space lesbians.
Really?
Listen, if those two are on the posters, so those two I have the highest hope for, Vel and Cinta, because I feel like
they also went off
them
separately.
On the poster, nobody else.
The one that I hope you're right. The one that I actually think has the highest chance of living is Gorn. Just because I think he represents the Eldani people as a whole, because we show in this episode that he was an Imperial and then he fell in love with someone on the planet and really came to love the planet, and then that led to his disillusion with the Empire. So I think him living would kind of represent that if this heist is a success. But yeah, I hope Vel and Cinta live, and I hope all of them live, but it's Star Wars.
I want Skeen to live just so we can go to like some meat, some sandwich place in like space Chicago.
Star,
I think Lieutenant
space,
Gorn might get exposed.
I could see
that's what I'm thinking too, honestly, Austin. And I hate to think that because, like, I don't want Lieutenant Gorn to be exposed. That dude's a homie. I like that guy.
Yeah,
I like
just
that.
The way the show's going. I'm like, they're gonna find out. The Empire's gonna find out. And yeah, also I'm really excited to see the Empire next episode, because they've been really building up the Empire in the background of this show,
where they've like really made them terrifying.
Yeah, when like they're like just literally in the background, we haven't even seen a stormtrooper yet, so I cannot wait to see them come to the forefront. And then
like every time a
chaos
TIE fighter shows up or like is in the background, it is the most terrifying thing in each episode. It's the scariest they've ever made them. And just this is the second episode in a row where like Cassian hears one way in the distance and they just have to just drop everything and get down and cover because the TIE fighter just comes in and it came like super duper close to him in this episode. And it just it's like it like raises the hair like on your arms like type of moment. I'm just blown away every time they do that. But yeah, no, I am very much getting attached to these characters. And I'm pretty sure Tony Gilroy said, hey, don't get attached to these characters because they might not make it out of here. And that is scaring me very, very much. I also didn't think that Skeen would have the title of our first shirtless scene in the show, as far as I'm aware. But
I mean, it's Richie from The Bear. I can't be surprised.
Yeah, I mean, I would have had money on Cassian, but here we go. And then we
there's still tattoos, a chance.
Which were awesome.
More, seven more episodes left.
There's still
don't give up hope.
When they were like, oh, there's a sex scene. It's like, oh, Cassian's in a sex scene. It's like, no, it's Tim. And
yeah.
I had my 5-minute rant about that one in the first three episodes. Is
fuck
is
Tim.
Connor can attest. Yes. Yes, very much so. But yeah, no, his tattoos, and remember, Connor, as we said, I don't know if you
no
know
Easter
this,
eggs. There's no Easter eggs. In the yeah, show, there's no Easter eggs, sure. Guys. Like, yeah. So. But again,
yeah.
Great hand and whatever the other one was, I can't remember what the other tattoo signified. But like, that was just really cool getting like just another little glimpse into Cassian's story.
Yeah, and then there's another scene later on with Dedra that is just Easter eggs galore, and it's just beautiful.
The but one where really... she pops like some, I don't even know what to call it, space Advil.
It's a stim. It's gonna be a stim from yeah. Jedi Fallen Order.
Give me a stim. Give me a stim, it's the, BD.
Yes, it's the canonical version of stims. At least like, I like to think.
No, that's a fair
I mean,
point.
I could use some space Adderall right now, if I'm being honest. But yeah, so I'm really enjoying the whole Rebel stuff. And then the way that Cassian has just been so protective of the Kyber necklace. And then when Skeen just like holds the knife at him and just takes it right off, I was like, oh, something's going down right now. Because that is literally like him representing this mission. And there's so many parallels between that and Jyn in Rogue One that people have constantly pointed out on Twitter of the different the parallels in their stories so far, even though they don't know either of them exist at this point.
Yeah, I did not think that Cassian would tell them that he got paid.
No, I didn't either. I'm actually kind of shocked that he's like still calling himself Clem. Like I thought, like he was gonna be like, my name is Cassian Andor, yada yada yada. But no, we're still doing this.
Cassian Andor.
Yeah. So it's like
I wouldn't be surprised. I think they might all have cover names to
like
be honest.
Cover names?
Probably.
Yeah, I could see it. That would be pretty cool.
Because I feel like they're protecting themselves perhaps, and I just don't see why Cassian would be the only one that needs one, because it's like to those people, who is Cassian Andor to those people? Still a nobody. It's the same thing as Clem. So I don't know. I feel like they might all have cover names.
I can see that, because a big theme with the Rebels that we've seen so far is they're all kind of having double lives. Luthen, Mon Mothma, Cassian, there's always like they're lying through their teeth to like get further in the cause is just a big theme that we've seen so far, of just showing that they have to have these facades to blend in with the Empire and to keep their operations hidden, which I'm just always just eating up, and I'm really loving it. I think it's adding a whole lot more to the tension. We didn't get that much Mon Mothma.
Dude, speaking of Mon Mothma, dude, her family's got it out for her, man. I hate her.
I was just about to say, we didn't see much of her in this episode, but we got introduced to her daughter, whose name I'm blanking on.
I think it's Leia.
Leia, yeah.
It's very similar to Leia, and I want to say that was intentional, but like,
intentional.
I don't know.
But like, well,
the name
she's
comes from Legends.
Oh, that's right. Then, yeah.
But it's still possible that when they did it in Legends, that they thought of Leia, because I mean, it is very close. So,
yeah.
Her freaking daughter's out for her. Her fucking husband. Dude, fuck Perrin. I hate that guy.
Perrin, I don't like you, buddy. Like, it's like the show has done such a good job at giving us these detestable men at every chance. Tim, this fucking Perrin. Guy, Perrin.
I know it's not going to happen, but I just want Mon Mothma to just sock him one of these days. Just give him a left hook.
Like, hand him them divorce papers. Yeah. That's what I need right here. But yeah, no, we get introduced to her daughter, and I kind of wish we didn't because she's so like
okay. One, in the daughter's defense, though, in the daughter's defense, it's a lot of the way she acts out is because of the parental dynamic. It's not just on her as a kid.
Yeah, that is. True.
I have to defend fellow children of divorced parents. Okay,
because didn't she say? Like something along the lines of like she walks the same steps as her father. I could have sworn. Yeah.
And like clearly Peril's like a stay-at-home dad, like Mon Mothma is out making money and being the leader of the rebellion. He's a stay-at-home, and he's probably because he has his own issues with Mon Mothma, he's probably turning their daughter against her and being like, yeah, Mon Mothma is selfish. You're not just thinking that, because every kid like thinks at some point that their parents are selfish because they said no, you can't do this, right? Yeah. I shouldn't say every kid who has the privilege of not having it worse than that. And then like the so for Mon Mothma's daughter, she is siding with her dad, who's always been there, who always takes her to everything, who, you know, probably does figure out a lot of her meals and stuff like that and how she gets to school, all that. He probably convinced her that Mon Mothma is just neglecting her, that like, oh, she's just so busy in her job. And granted, they both don't know, which is like makes it worse, because then it's like, oh, you're doing all this time, you're spending all this time as a politician, that's a little suspicious, and you're literally gone 20 hours a day, so what's going on?
Yeah. And like the one scene that they have where they have this day that they were planning out, her daughter was just like, no, this is all an act. It's all to make you look better. Like, I'm just a part of your like little like performance here. And I do relate to it a bit. It's just they just made her like her whole family is just gunning for her, and I just hate it because she is closed in. She literally can't even like go to the comfort of her own home and like to escape, be herself, have this escape thing. Like, be open about her. I do hope that,
to Chelsea's point, I do hope that, like, Mon Mothma gets some sort of good heart-to-heart with her daughter.
That would be
like, yo, your dad's kind of a dick.
I hope she turns over a new leaf, because she just has, like, such a, like, already, like, that is a Star Wars haircut right there. So, like, she can't be a terrible person. Like, we need stuff like that. But like with Luthen, we see that like Clea is in on his whole facade thing. She is kind of his partner. So they have them to like confide with each other. Mon Mothma doesn't have that. She has to go home and still put on this act. So in a way, they're both right. But it's just like we have these, her husband's a pretty much an imperial sympathizer, and then her daughter is just angsty teenage, no, my dad's right.
Who's just been spewing, not, I want to say spewing, but all she knows, the only view of Mon Mothma that she knows is from her father.
Her father, yeah. So. And like his whole thing this episode was he just, even the way that like he was like, oh, what's the driver's name again? Like, even though he clearly knows, I'm like, I want to punch you in the face, bro. Like, this is.
He's and you know what I love about that scene is that Mon Mothma, like we saw when in episode 4 that she doesn't even like the driver. She's suspicious of the driver, but still takes the time to know his name and be respectful. So I just think, I don't know. It just goes back, like hearing somebody say to Mon Mothma, a character that we've seen, like we've never even seen anything actually about her. Her role in the story has always been impacting the larger rebellion. So just hearing somebody call her selfish was very interesting. So, or, you know, it's all about you, isn't it? So, yeah, I definitely
it's get, a new take like, on the character.
Yeah, and I definitely get why, you know, it's like, why is, how dare her daughter speak to Mon Mothma like that, you know? Because it's like, we know for a fact that Mon Mothma is the, like, least selfless Star Wars character besides maybe Leia. So, that's, yeah, it's very interesting. Yeah.
No, definitely. Chelsea, what do you think about this whole Mon Mothma thing? Like, do you think that her family's eventually going to turn over a new leaf, or do you think that they're always just going to be an obstacle and she's going to have to like break away from them at some point?
I feel like we talked about this a bit yesterday, and also I'm just not very good at like predictions, but like, I think some of the things we had talked about were like, we have a feeling maybe they're going to be used against her. Like the Empire may capture or like threaten them, or they will find out and rat on her, or it maybe it will be a chance for familial healing. And I have no idea which direction it would go. I can imagine though that it's just not going to end well, because we have to get to a point, whether even if it's not in this season, but by the end of the show, to where Mon Mothma's were kind of closer to where we know her in Return of the Jedi. And in Return of the Jedi, there's no, and she seems to be, you know, very just like stoic, yeah, versus kind of how we're seeing her now. So I can imagine that it's not going to end very well if, because of like how we know her to be. Not, yeah, in, like, not that the way she is like a bad thing of like being that kind of stoic, like emotionless, objective leader, but like going from where she is now to that will be an interesting journey.
No, and I think, yeah, it would be a perfect representation of the Empire being this truly evil regime, is even for someone like Perrin, who isn't necessarily like waving the Imperial flag, but he's like, oh yeah, they're fun. If he ends up being like killed by them, like the people that he's like, ah, no, they're like the cool guys. It's like, it would show that like, no, like this is, we don't care. Like if you are, if we can use you in any way as leverage, or if you can like just be used, or you're posing a threat against us, we will kill you with no hesitation. And that's just the Empire for you. It's just, they're not good. That's one thing. But this show, I think, is doing a good job at just making these Imperial characters fleshed out, like Dedra. And like Cereal Boy, which we'll get to in a little bit, because he's so pathetic. He is so pathetic. But we will get to that when we get there. But yeah, no, I'm feeling for Mon Mothma. I'm really hoping that this character like is able to escape this like toxic family that she has. And yeah, no, I'm rooting for her, and I'm really like loving that we're getting more of her, because like we've all said, it's so great that we're getting more of like getting to know her and like diving deeper into her character, because she's just been kind of in the background for the most part of her performances. She's shown up, she's had a couple scenes, but we've never seen like the behind the curtain for her character. And I'm really excited that we're finally getting that. And then it's just adding a lot to the political thriller type of aspects of this series, which I'm just eating up. But I guess because I brought him up, we can get into Cyril's story in this episode, because this guy shows up. We've all been there, sitting at the breakfast table, getting just degraded by your mom every 5 seconds. What are you doing? You know, you have no future, no prospects, eating your bowl of cereal with your blue milk, sulking, crying. With your action figures in your room. Yeah, I wasn't on the he's relatable thing until this week. Now I'm like, you know what? You know, maybe they're onto something here. But no, he's such a pathetic little shit. And
still, yeah, obsessed with Cassian, too.
Yeah. I didn't think that shot of him just looking at him, like the hologram in the trailer, was just going to be him in his bedroom. Like, just angry, yeah, the whole time. But there we are. I mean, what a guy, that's Cyril Kern. But his mom, you want to talk about toxic family? Holy shit. Like, that is...
That's this whole episode. Minus the rebels, like...
Yeah. Yeah. It's like... Very, interesting character. Also, the way, like, I posted this on Twitter, but literally I never would have ever expected his name to be pronounced Cyril, because it was like Cyril or Cyril. Those were the two options. So when his mother fucking said Cyril, I was like, who? Who are we talking like, about here? This? Because there's no A to be found in that name, Cyril. Like, what? But.
Oh.
Oh, no. Well, so, Cyril, what are your thoughts about him?
Dreams of buying us out or came true.
I think, let's just talk about the actual cereal for a second. Because I see people, I saw Mike All Star Wars comment on it saying it's literally just Trix when I saw that Star Wars posted the recipe. Actually, it's not Trix. It's the fucking Crunch Berries from Captain Crunch. It's period. Not Trix. Trix, it's not, it's just Trix not, like, I kids. Know it. I know yeah. it in my bones that it's Captain Crunch, because it's a, the Trix, Trix are very smooth and very circular. The mm-hmm. the Crunch Berries in Captain Crunch have that texture like they do in that video. And I think this yes. is just so important. And I'm tired of people saying it's Trix. But anyway, those cereal bars that they posted the recipe of, low-key, look really good. So I think I'm
trying to make those. Them. Yeah, I might make those.
Shit. Make, yeah. We'll make them when you're here.
Yes.
Because it's so easy.
What were you guys talking about? We love some cereal.
On a very passionate rant about how, because Disney posted the recipe, like, for how to make bars. Yes.
Yep.
It's kind of just like Rice Krispie treats, but with the cereal. But I just went on a passionate rant that people think it's the Trix. I very firmly believe that the cereal that it is actually the berries from Captain Crunch. It's the Crunch berries. So also, that's what you missed.
Yeah, I can see that. I'm going to have to go back and listen to that in the edit, because I'm so bummed. My laptop froze. I was like, oh no. Like, oh no, this is bad. But we are back and we are good to go. So yeah, Cereal Boy, he's just sulking and what a guy. But this, like, his, I don't know if we touched on his mom or not, but like, she's just, no, I don't like her. She definitely, I think, didn't they describe her as like the pageant mom from hell? And I'm like, yeah, no, that checks out
there. A dance mom. She's literally a dance mom.
She's one of the dance moms. Dance Moms Coruscant. There we go there. So, yeah, I just, this episode, like, we mainly focused on Cassian, like, throughout most of it. And we, like, briefly touched on Dedra. We briefly touched on Cyril, and we briefly touched on Mon Mothma. And then we got Luthen right at the end. But, like, I felt like the episode, because it, in a way, it's, like, it felt as long as the other episodes, but also, like,
very short.
Very short, and like, I feel like there's not as much to talk about with this episode besides just like the tension's building. It's really great. This show is awesome.
Oh, there is that one moment where Lieutenant Gorn is in, like, I assume the Aldani base.
Oh yeah,
and
that was a great
scene. Two of the and like a few of the and few of the officers are like, "Can we go see the what's it called?"
The
celestial event.
Yeah, the eye. Is it the eye? It's not the eye.
Yeah, I think it's the eye. Yeah, it is. Oh, is it the eye?
Of course, like, it's not Markion Rowe.
Of course,
like,
it is.
No, I know it is, because I remember hearing that and being like, the High Republic.
Yeah, I'm like, what?
Slick High Republic reference, Tony.
Gilroy, Tony Gilroy doesn't know what a High Republic is, but
again, no Easter egg.
Yeah, there's no Easter eggs in the show. The High Republic is actually the alternate name of the Wayseekers podcast. If you know, you know.
Yes.
But. Yeah, I loved that scene, because even the Imperials are like, "Oh, mommy, can we go see the fireworks after?" But, like, it's just because even like, to them, fine. They're like, they invade this planet, they get rid of most of the civilians, and even they're like, "Oh, can we go see the eye?" And even Gorn was like, "Yeah, we could. The painting will be the next day." But like, he's very insistent. Mm-hmm. They gotta paint this thing. But like, I just love like. That little glimpse of, like, they don't even know, those Imperials probably don't even know the significance of the eye, how much it means to these people. Like, it probably doesn't even, like, register in their brain that they are like, oh, this is the thing that we've taken away from these people that we've oppressed, and we've like stripped away this culture, but we're excited about it because, ooh, cool lights in the sky. It's another perfect representation of the Empire.
There's that one shot, there's like two shots in the trailer where Cassian's piloting like a ship, and it's like this really beautiful and bright meteor shower almost. I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
Yeah, because Nemec in the last episode explains exactly that scene about like the meteor showers and rainbow colors and all that. So it is interesting how much is actually put in the trailer. I mean, not necessarily because like when we watch the trailer, it's all out of context. I guess more so just like as we watch the show, the more context we're able to put together. Like I've said in the last two episodes of Wayseekers, there is that scene with the rainbows, and I haven't gone back and watched it since the series started, but there are two people behind Cassian, and whoever those two people are clearly the ones that survived the rebel mission. And I don't want to go back and look.
Yeah, I don't want to go back and look now because I'm going to be, my heart's going to break.
Yeah.
We did this when we were doing our Kenobi coverage of just like, once we got to like the fourth episode, we were like, okay, there's no shots left in the trailer. This time, because it's 12 episodes and it's just all been spread out, we're like, oh, everything's still like fair game. Like we haven't gotten to the clone trooper flashbacks yet or anything. So we haven't even seen regular stormtrooper yet. Yeah, Saw Gerrera, when's he going to show up? I would not be shocked if he shows up.
When's my boy Benthic Two Tubes showing up?
Yeah,
I
think really?
It's Benthic. Oh, I cannot wait.
It's either Benthic or Adriel. I can never tell the difference between the two.
Yeah.
When is you know, the Two Tubes boy?
That made me think of my Glub Shido. When is Vetch coming back? I need
Vetch. Oh. I guess we can talk because they had the quick scene on Ferrix, and I got very excited because Chelsea does not have Twitter. So Chelsea does just not know the extent of my love for Bix Kayleen. So I was like, when's Bix showing up? Where's Brasso? Where's my guy?
And dude, they didn't Brasso, show any of them. I need to see Brasso again. That dude is a straight up homie.
I'm sure we'll see him all again, and they're all gonna be tortured to hell by the ISB. It's gonna be horrible.
Someone commented on one of my TikToks. He's like, oh, did B2 just die? Like, where has he been? I'm like, let's hope not. Let's hope not. Because
don't kill B2. Don't kill B2.
Speaking of characters coming back, I forgot about this till I saw it on Twitter. But in episode 4, I think, or in episode 3, they mentioned that there's an Imperial scientist going to Aldani. And are they going to? Yeah, you brought it up, but I didn't realize that next week there's a very possible chance that we're gonna see the Rebel group versus somebody like Galen Erso or Director Krennic. Like one I'm of those characters could actually Galen. Be showing up.
Someone said in the background of one of the shots on Aldani, they see a ship that looks a lot like Krennic's shuttle. So maybe
that's what it was. That's what I thought. I was like, that ship looks familiar. I know exactly what shot you're talking about too. Mm-hmm. Like,
but it's remember, very
small. But again, no Easter eggs.
No Easter eggs in this show.
Dumbass was thinking with the whole like Imperial scientist from Coruscant. My dumbass was like, "Gee, I wonder who that could be." And then everyone's like, "Oh, it's probably Galen Erso." And I'm like, "Oh, that makes a lot of sense."
I remember I brought that up. Like, I think it was after episodes 1, 2, 3, and I feel like I got blank stares from like. For everyone, and I was like, oh, well, maybe I'm just being stupid, but now
I knew exactly what you were talking about. You're gonna need to go back and rewatch that episode because there's no way I looked at you crazy because I thought the same exact thing. I just never put two and two together that this scientist actually could show up in the show,
because they mentioned Scarif before that, yeah,
in that episode, and it's like, all right, come on, where's Maz?
Come on now. Yeah. Connor, I hope it's just a deep cut because we're going to be getting there soon. It's just like Tony Gilroy just pulls the deepest cut out of his ass, and it's the evil scientist from the Blue Shadow Virus episodes of the
Claw.
Just like he's like, it's like Dave Filoni told me to include this character in the show. But yeah, I don't know if we're actually gonna see Galen or Krennic. Maybe like a shot in the background, maybe alluding that it's one of those two, or someone says like, "Oh, Doctor," or you know, or Galen Erso is in that room over there, or something like that. Or we see like Krennic's cape, but we don't actually see them. We do know that Dedra has a squad of Death Troopers because of one of the trailers, so we know Death Troopers are showing up at one point. But I'm very interested in that and the overall getting to see the heist because it's exciting me so much. But back to that Ferrix scene real quick. Another just greedy Imperial. He shows up. He's given a mission. He's given like this hotel to be based. It's like, okay, but like, can you make my title prefect? Because like, I think that would sound cool. It's like they're literally occupying a planet. They're torturing these civilians, and all they care about is moving up in the social ladder and moving up in the ranks. And I think that's just a theme that they're telling in this show. That's kind of the theme of Cyril's mom, is she just wants to move up the social hierarchy on Coruscant by leeching off of her son. And because her son just got kicked off of his corpo thing and he's back living with his mom on Coruscant, it's like, what am I going to do? And Dedra is trying to move up in the Empire, but she's being, you know, throwing obstacles every chance she gets because the Empire is just all just infighting bastards, just trying to bring everyone down to move themselves back up. And I think everyone's saying that Cyril and Dedra are eventually going to team up or have some type of connection. I think it's going to start happening soon. The Super Mario movie just tweeted me or just sent me a tweet, so that's interesting. But just had to share that. But yeah, no, I am just really intrigued of where this is all going to go, because I'm assuming Dedra is going to be like our main villain of the season, her and Cyril together, and they're all going to team up against Cassian. So I'm assuming that Dedra is going to, or Cassian, I'm sorry, is going to get in the way of one of Dedra's plans, maybe indirectly, and then she takes it out on him. Because Connor, as you mentioned, like in the first episode, it's like the description they gave of her character, like before the show, was like an Imperial that strongly dislikes Cassian Andor. So obviously he's got to do something that pisses her off, and then that's going to lead to her and Karn kind of like teaming up together. So I wonder if she's maybe going to be sent to Aldani next episode. And then this blows up in her face, and she, oh, it's that Ferrix guy again. And then they end up having Ferrix a conflict again. There. Yeah, but there he is again. But yeah, but I think if, yeah, I'm really intrigued. And I like that we got just a brief glimpse to just know that, hey, we're not done with Ferrix yet. We're going to see these characters again. We better, because
I need more Brasso.
Yeah, we need Brasso. We need Bix. We need B2. I hope Marva. Yeah, where's Vetch? And I hope Marva finally turned up the heat in her house, because she leaves it too cold.
She's also, just like me.
Yeah, really. Literally, it's like it's in the 50s now, and I'm like sleeping with a fan on still because I'm like I need to be cold. Shout out to the
AC on.
Shout out the Bantha plushie in Cassian's room. I hope he's doing all right. Because
again, no Easter eggs though.
Yeah, no, none. Speaking of Easter eggs, that one scene with Dedra and the one I think her like aide. I don't remember who the character was. Where she just rattles off, just like, oh yeah. So the thing on Hosnian Prime, and then Jakku and Kessel, and I'm just going here like yes, yes, yes. Because it's like one, Solo rights and sequel trilogy rights, but also like
Rebels.
Yeah, yes. Because I'm pretty sure what they're actually referring to in that scene, because this is taking place during Rebels season one, they're referencing the whole Kessel stuff from season one of Rebels, like referencing the Ghost Crew. So I think that's cool, because a lot of people thought they were referencing. Yeah, a lot of people thought they were referencing Han, but that happened, you know, a few years prior.
Well, we had the Mimban reference last week, and then this week we have this. So, Also, a Meilurun showed up in this episode, so more Rebel supremacy.
Oh, I missed it.
I missed it too.
It's on Cyril's table. Yeah, there's a Meilurun and then the blue cereal.
I was so distracted by the cereal.
The cereal. Everyone's like, oh my God, cereal's canon. Someone was like, are you telling me that they put the cereal in and then the milk first? And like, the tweets I was seeing about this were hilarious. I also saw another one. It's like, the Star Wars timeline is so weird because at the same time as this Rebel mission on Aldani, Zeb and Ezra are chasing after a fruit. Like in Rebel season one. It's like
they're you love to see it. It's great. They're both in,
like, of the same ports, you know? So
I saw that tweet. And then they were like, and Bumot Kin was born. And it was like, oh, okay. Like, oh, okay. I guess there's a wide variety of events.
All right, Beaumont. I don't like that. There was also another really bad Andor tweet that I'm just not gonna give any attention to. I'm really liking where everything's going here. Real quickly, if we want to touch on the Luthen thing that ended the episode, first of all, that man with his anxiety, I feel it. Also, I like how it's just him and Clea at this point, and he still just has the wig on, but it's all disheveled at this point. So, do you like, where do you think this is going? Do you think
it's he's so going convincing to, like, to me? I keep thinking that's like his actual real hair.
No. Well, I'm like, what's the, like, the, is the art dealer his real thing, or is the Rebel thing his, like, what is his, like, is he losing track of, like, his two lives are just like blending into one, or he's slowly becoming one of the other people? And, but it, like, again, I got like, because of how much like focus was put on by like other people pointing out the various things in Luthen's like art gallery last week, I was this week specifically looking in the background for everything. So I'm like, all right, so there's a holocron, there is this, there's that.
Specifically, it's Dryden Voss's holocron.
Yes.
Specifically, the Crimson Dawn one. So
Kira showing up? Question mark.
Kira does eventually get in the comics as well. So very interesting.
Please show up. Are we going to do what we did with Book of Boba Fett, where we're like, oh yeah, so this is the episode Kira is showing up. It's like, it's just going to keep happening for every single show. Damn you, Emilia Clarke. But no, I'm very intrigued of where this is going. One, first of all, shout out Clea. You're a real one. And then just Luthen, like, I wonder if he gonna like get so antsy, and is he gonna go to like Aldani himself? Like, I don't know where this is gonna go. And I'm just, because he's like, oh, did I put my trust in the right person? Like, he's worried about, oh, he's like that thief Andor. But we know Cassian's gonna make it out alive. Everyone else, it's free real estate. So just please, Nemec, don't kill him. Everyone else,
they better not kill Nemec, and they better not kill Vel and Synth. They just better not kill the crew. Just don't kill the crew.
Can we just?
I've seen this film before.
Oh no!
And I didn't like the ending.
Well, they better not kill Vel and Synth because they're sharing a blanket. And people are like, well, what does that mean?
No, they're going to fucking kill the fucking lesbians. I know they are. Or if they don't kill both of them, one of them is going to tragically die. They always do this to lesbians. It's just... Listen.
I hope.
Listen.
They live.
I really hope. I would love, again, would love to be eating my words next week. But no one does a lesbian's love story unless it's a tragic one, I feel like.
That is so painfully accurate. But yeah, no, I'm rooting for the kids, but I'm very, very terrified at what is coming. Do you guys have anything to add on? I feel like we've kind of blown through this episode.
Who,
like,
do we think is the person Luthen was trying to contact at the end?
Saw Gerrera.
Yeah. I didn't even know he was trying to contact somebody. I'm not going to lie. I completely missed that. So
Because I feel like he's got to show up at some point. They brought Nemec brought him up last week, or was it Skeen? One of the two brought him up last week.
It was Skeen. Yeah.
So I feel like he's going to be either in next week or next week's episode or the week after.
It's probably the week after.
I feel like
we know he shares a couple scenes with Luthen, so I feel like they might have some type of loose connection at this point. Because at this point, Saw is still like more directly linked with the rebellion than he is during Rogue One. But I'm interested there. But I'm just so worried for these rebels, guys. I'm terrified.
Yeah.
We all are.
Yeah. And then I feel like we're gonna go back to Ferrix at some point, because I Cassian, I'm guessing, will be back there at some point. You know who won't be though, Connor, is Tim. Because he's dead.
Yeah. Because he's fucking dead. Thank God.
Yeah. And I feel like something bad is gonna happen soon with Mon Mothma and that family of hers. That's another thing. What did you think about the fact that they skipped over the dinner party that everyone was getting really excited
I figured
for?
They were going to.
Yeah, I would have loved to have seen it, but also first of all, it's like, who would play Slidemore? And then it's like, you know, then Tony Gilroy has to do his research, because that's the thing is, Tony Gilroy, he's not the biggest Star Wars fan, right? But if he's going to put something in there, he's going to commit to it hard. Like Cassian's age, like he was like, I will reference this Rogue One reference book where it says his age and his planet, but I'm going to put so much attention to detail in it and flip it on its head. So I just feel like with that, he was like, I don't know. They just were like, this is too difficult to try and do. But I would have loved to see it. And I just think it would have been cool, because I said this on like Kessel Run or something, but like it would have just been funny if he was like, he watched all the Star Wars movies to prepare to make Andor, and then was like, oh, like Luke Skywalker, like leave him out of my ship. But Sly Moore, I want that. Oh, the Battle of Mimbin? Fuck the Battle of Hoth, but the Battle of Mimbin? Like, I want that referenced in my story. So,
yes.
I love that idea that he just like attaches himself to the most obscure Star Wars things that nobody knows about.
He's all of us in that way. The one name that popped in my head of like, could be Sly Moore, which was like Tilda Swinton, but I'm like, that's way too big of a name for just like a 5 minute like scene.
Yeah,
because I'm just like, oh, the ancient one. I'm like, who was that? I'm like, oh, Tilda Swinton. And
yeah, Tilda Swinton needs to be in a better role.
Yeah,
Sly Moore. It's Tilda Swinton.
You're telling me, like, Sly Moore isn't a big enough role?
Yeah,
like she's, I mean, I seriously think they could have like.
They in Legends, they canonically did the sex. Yeah. someone brought that up last week. Was it Jake? I don't remember who.
Probably.
It was. Yeah, that's
dude. That dude's full of just weird ass thoughts. I love him, but
Austin, this is your doing. You brought these people together. You bought for
no,
the
no, you
Republic,
brought
so.
Them together. I no, knew them you, first, and you yeah. brought them all together. You were the one that put them all in one room.
Well, technically, you did first at the story group. You did first at the story group, buddy. Yeah. So, and now you bought it from under my grasp. So, SWE presents for the Republic. But yeah, I mean, I hope we get something. Like, the more Imperial Senators that we get in this show, I'll be happy with, because we know we're going to get a couple scenes, and obviously we're not done with Mon Mothma, because they've described her as like the co-lead with Cassian. And one more thing I want to bring up, just the visuals of this show. Mm-hmm. I've never seen Coruscant look better in anything before. That scene of them like driving in like at night,
beautiful. It looks so good, but also like really dead.
Yeah, because like that's what I really love about it. Because I saw all these people being like, but Coruscant was so vibrant and so many lights in Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith, and it's like, of course, but this is the Imperial reign where it's like they don't fuck with fun, you know?
Everything's fucking plain, standardized concrete. Uniform.
Why do you think like the prequels
it's the landlord
are so
special,
vibrant and colorful, and then the original trilogy, everything's just worn down and everything, because the Empire doesn't like that. The Bad Batch, as soon as Order 66 happens, all of these clone armor just immediately is just white.
White.
It's white and plain, no customization, except for Hauser or Boy, the Baja Blast clone trooper. But yeah, no, I am... I was just like... I had to take a second, but this just looks incredible. And I really am just so just in love with the visuals of this show. A couple of the shots on Aldani just look straight out of Lord of the Rings when they're climbing up the mountain. Yeah. I was like, I'm just going to start playing the Fellowship theme in the background. Cause I'm like, all right, this is the exact same shot, but I love it. And I'm just, this show is awesome. And I know some people are like, it's too much of a slow burn for me. Nothing's happening. There's no action. And to that I say, have you ever watched a regular show before? Like not everything has to have an action scene every episode. And I actually like that they're building towards it, because with the first arc and now this one, they have two episodes of just really, really doing a great job at building the tension, and then it just exploding in the next episode. So I have a very good, to quote Han Solo, I have a really good feeling about this for next week's episode, that it's just going to blow our minds and also destroy our hearts, because we're about to see most, if not all, of this Rebel fleet die to complete this mission. And I'm just...
It's going to be, like, terrified. It's going to be so sad, but at the same time, it's going to be such, like, a interesting way to compare to Rogue One, because, like, that was Cassian's last suicide mission, and this is his first suicide mission, and it's, like... I could definitely see him getting turned off, like, because, like, why is he so against the mission in Rogue One? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's what they're trying to do here, is inform us. Like, it makes sense for him to be against it, but, like, what makes, you know, like, I feel like there could be more there. Like, you know, something clearly bad happens here, and perhaps he's starting to, you know, form some sort of attachment to at least some of these people. I mean, like Senta's taken, and clearly Cassian, you know, was, you know, being a whore as usual. And
Matt Murdock of Star Wars, if you will.
So, like, I feel like this is gonna really mess him up, that a lot of people are gonna die, and he's gonna be against anything like that, where it's like, suicide missions, no thanks, like, because they are exactly that, suicide missions. And not even, I don't even think he'll be like he won't want to do it because, oh, I might die. It's like seeing other people die, like getting close to a team like that, where it's like you work together and then everybody dies. And so I think that this is definitely going to inform or contrast to the Rogue One mission for sure. Like, I cannot wait to see the parallels there.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. And I loved a lot of how this episode is kind of building towards Cassian taking on more of a leadership position in this group of him, when they realized that they had no way of, like, controlling the thing that they're trying to take over. And he's like, all right, no, I'll fly it, because I've flown this kind of freighter before. And to just show that, like, this rebel group, like, they're together, and they've talked a couple times, like, oh, we've been here for months and we're planning this. It's like, well, do you know how to control this freighter? And they're like, nope. So it just shows, like, the more ragtag feeling of this this one particular rebel group compared to some stuff that we've seen before, where they may have this plan and they may have built up this up for months, but there's still, like, holes in their game that Cassian is filling, because he's been everywhere as a thief, and he's, you know, gotten into the Empire to steal from them before, and he's been around the block. And I do appreciate that. I do think that he's still, like, kind of bullshitting in some factor, like, yeah, I know what to do here, but he's just gonna wing it, because I just feel like that's part of Cassian's character at this point. But I'm terrified. Before we wrap things up, let's play a fun little, not really fun, but just a terrifying game of, who do you think is going to be the first, like, to die next week? And if there's one, that lives, who is it?
First to die, probably Terramin. No. Only person to live, first to live. My heart wants to say Vel. Fuck it, yeah, I'm going with Vel, but also I don't know.
I'm concerned for all of them.
Yeah, like I'm pretty sure Nimic will die, but I don't think he'll be first. I agree with Connor. And then I think that if I had to say who would live, I would say either Cinta or Vel, because like I said, they're on the poster, so we shall see. And I really would love to see them live for at least another episode. Like, yeah, if they die later on, like, it would suck. But just, like, let us spend a little bit more time. You give us one episode with these lesbians. Like, please let us keep
They've gotten the most development, which also means I'm terrified for them the most, because I feel like that's going to hurt. But,
yeah,
Chelsea.
I'm, again, not very good at these, like, guessing things. So I'll just agree with everyone else. Either way, it's going to be an emotional roller coaster next week. That much I do know.
I'll say Terramin dies first. I'm sorry, buddy, but you've had like 3 speaking lines, so we're going to say that you bite it. And then I just think he's cursed at the end, because he's like, oh, he's in charge now. I'm like, this is not good. And I'll say either Gorn or Vel for who lives, because I feel like that's where it's leading. But I could be very wrong. But yeah, I feel like we've touched on everything we can for this week. It was a very good episode, but again, it was a lot of just talking and building, so there wasn't like, oh, this exciting thing that happened, but I'm still very like invested in the show, and it is still just a great watch every week, and I cannot wait for next week. So thank you to both Chelsea and Austin for coming on the show. Austin once again, and Chelsea for the first time. I'm so glad that you guys came on. If you want to talk about Wayseekers and your new podcast real quick, and then tell everyone where they can find you, and we can get out of here.
Yeah. You're the person. You do the
Well, but I would love to hear you talk about it.
Okay, sure, then I'll do it. So you can catch us on 2 different podcasts. The first being This Is the Wayseekers, a weekly Star Wars podcast with me, Austin, and Tom. So we've been discussing Andor every week with different guests as well. I believe next week, one just came out with Hunter Radici. Check it out. And then next week, I believe we're having Plo Cool or Pete from Instagram. And then Austin and I have recently started a second podcast called Everything But Star Wars, where we talk about film and TV for things outside of Star Wars. Because as much as we love it, we need to finally watch something else. And that's every other Monday right now. Did I do a good job?
Yes. Is that good?
Okay, yes, period. Amazing. And then you can find me. Me.
Well, I was going to say, we for the Everything But Star Wars podcast, we just did an episode about American Psycho, and then our next episode will be about Don't Worry, Darling, because we're doing a bonus episode. So make sure to check that out.
Still haven't seen it.
Oh,
it was a movie.
It's a movie that feels like a movie.
It feels like a movie. Harry was right.
I'm like being so serious that like I understand what he means now, like now that I've seen it. But anyway. That's where you can find me on both those podcasts, in Austin's Discord server, or on Instagram at Jedi_Chelsea.
Perfect. Yes. You can follow me on Instagram, startupwars.editor, TikTok, SW Austin, YouTube, Austin SWE, and Twitter, SW Austin 0. None of them are the same, but it's all good. So
you can got also 4 different find usernames. You can also find him heading for the Republic going forward, because he bought it from under my grasp. Connor, how about you? I know you're going to be on Nights later tonight, but if you want to share some other stuff first.
Sure. Twitter at DepaBanana. I co-host another Star Wars podcast, as Andrew has mentioned before, as I've mentioned before, called Knights of the Nerd Republic. We talk Star Wars, interviews, topics, discussions, what have you. And then you can find me. Well, no, you can't really find me doing this. I write trivia questions now for Star Wars in a Galaxy Epic Confrontations. It's a fun trivia league I'm a part of. We have some really fun storylines and just trivia matchups in the works. You can follow that at in a galaxy trivia on Twitter. And Star Wars in a Galaxy podcast on YouTube. That's where those trivia matches are uploaded. And then you can find me writing stories at feweditorig.com/fiction. I have none published yet. There are a good amount published. I can never remember the exact number, but check them out.
In a couple days, I think. I don't remember which one, but there's one coming out.
Comic Tom's comic.
Yes, Inquisition of the Heart. Woo. It's really good. I'm really excited for everyone to check it out. As for myself, I got some stuff in the works, but one story I can talk about is The Hidden Kyber. It is part of our initiative called Dawn of the Order, where we're taking a look at the formation of the First Order through our own unique, very character-driven lens. And my story is set shortly after the events of Fallen Order, and it features Seer Jundah and Cal Kestis. It comes out whenever. Probably like December. I think December. December. Yeah,
or December. January. December or January? One of those.
One of the two.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
The trivia. I mean, Connor's got cameras all over here now, just watching my every move so he can write questions despite me. Also, just want to shout out for Austin. He was on Kessel Run Relay earlier in the week talking about Andor, so want to shout those out. I'm sorry, Liv, for torturing you last night with my work playlist. Just sorry in advance. As for myself, you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitch at Starlight Andrew. You can follow the subscribe to the new For the Republic YouTube channel, where you can see our beautiful faces every week talking about Star Wars. And also, you can follow the podcast on Twitter at For the Repub Pod, and on Instagram and now TikTok at For the Republic Pod. We're going to be posting clips and fun moments from that stuff on there. So give us a follow there. We'll have a regular show back within the next coming days. We have a special guest coming very soon that I'm very excited to talk about. And you can catch us back here next week for more Andor talk. So until then, see you guys later, and may the Force be with you always. Thank you.